Transport. Trade is absolutely vital for economic development, both to import advanced technology and to export goods and services to pay for the imports. The costs of shipping goods can play an enormous role in facilitating or hindering trade, and therefore development. Transport costs are lower by sea than by land, and much lower than by air. Sea-based transport costs are lower in main trading lanes than in remote reaches of the world. Transport costs are obviously lower to reach a neighboring market than a distant market. These differences give Singapore a profound economic advantage over, say, Fiji. Singapore is on the world's main trade route between Europe and Asia. A ship going from Osaka, Japan to Rotterdam, Netherlands, will pass by Singapore as it traverses the Strait of Malacca. Fiji, by contrast, is far away in the South Pacific. That may contribute to its exotic reputation, but it certainly does not contribute to its economic development. Of the world's 20 biggest container ports in 2005, 13 are in Asia, 3 are in Europe, 3 are in the United States, and 1, Dubai, is in the Middle East. Not one is in Africa or in Latin America. Of course, as Africa develops, major ports will develop as well. Yet to build a major port with major industries around it poses a chicken-and-egg problem. Port services and ocean shipping both have strong economies of scale. Small-scale ports and small-scale ships have high operating costs compared with larger ports. Thus, if a port starts small, its costs will be very high, and this tends to discourage further development of the port area. If the port succeeds in reaching a critical mass, however, its operating costs per user will decline sharply, and much more business will be developed. The key, then, is to make the breakthrough to an adequate scale of operation. Since 3/4 of the world's population lies in the Northern Hemisphere on the Eurasian landmass, coastal populations in Europe, the Middle East, and Asia find themselves on great sea lanes, while Africa's population finds itself comparatively out of the action. Similarly, North America has an intrinsic transport advantage over South America. Australia and New Zealand may seem like exceptions, prosperous yet distant, but both countries benefit by having small populations compared with enormous land areas. The favorable land-to-person ratio helps keep incomes high. Disease ecology. A heavy disease burden frustrates economic development in countless ways. Individual productivity is impeded by illness, if not ended by premature mortality. Childhood diseases can lead to a lifetime of adverse health conditions. Regions prone to disease are less likely to attract tourists, skilled migrants, and foreign investment. As we've noted earlier, where children die in large proportions, the transition from high fertility rates to low fertility rates is far slower. Parents are less likely to reduce family size if they lack the confidence that each one of their children will survive beyond the first few years of life. Somewhat surprisingly, perhaps, the regions of the world differ not only in the kind of health care they can provide to their people, but also in their intrinsic susceptibility to key diseases. Since malaria and a host of other insect-borne diseases are transmitted overwhelmingly in tropical climates, while many other diseases are worldwide in impact, the overall impact of infectious disease on the tropics is much higher than in the temperate regions. For various ecological reasons, tropical Africa has the heaviest tropical disease burden of all regions. Most important, Africa's malaria-transmitting mosquitoes are especially deadly, since they have evolved to bite only humans, while the malaria-transmitting mosquitoes in other continents bite animals as well as humans. The consequence is a much higher rate of malaria transmission in Africa than elsewhere, and the malaria disease burden is correspondingly devastating. Natural hazards. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, that city's economic prospects were set back for years, perhaps for decades. And for the same reason, countries that are repeatedly hit by natural disasters face the risk of long-term setbacks to development. Repeated blows to the economy can add up to a long-term poverty trap. Natural hazards, of course, come in many forms. So-called hydrometeorological hazards, meaning water-related hazards, take the greatest overall toll. Droughts cause massive loss of human livelihoods and livestock. Floods cause even greater dislocations. Many countries face both kinds of hazards, sometimes simultaneously in different parts of the country or within the same area over the course of a year. Other weather shocks include hurricanes, called typhoons in Asia, tornadoes, heat waves, and more. Another major category of hazard is seismological, including volcanoes, earthquakes, and tsunamis. Tropical and subtropical economies near continental shelves in Asia and the Americas face the worst combination of seismological and hydrological risks. The Philippines, for example, faces heavy threats of typhoons, droughts, floods, volcanoes, and earthquakes. The same is true of the Central American nations. Africa is especially vulnerable to drought, which has repeatedly devastated vast parts of the continent and has become considerably more frequent in the past quarter century, partly as a result of long-term global climate change.